This is BTV, Business Television. Discover companies to invest in.
Coming up this week, cannabis. How this totally new market segment that's been capturing the imagination of investors continues to ramp up and diversify. Hello, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Kacherchak. Welcome to BTV Business Television.
It's the final countdown to legalization of adult recreational cannabis in Canada.
And we're taking a look at the broad spectrum of the cannabis industry, medical and recreational, dry products and oils.
It's an industry that's a lot more innovative than you might think.
And there's at least one company you'll discover today that may surprise you.
But first, here's what one analyst has to say about the adult rec market that's about to open.
At the outset of the market, you know, those that have high quality product and can deliver according to expectations for their distribution and retail partners are going to be the winners.
From cars to smartphones, there will always be consumers that demand quality and are willing to pay for it. Since 2014, the Supreme Cannabis Company has been focused on this segment of the cannabis market. But will this strategy work, moving into the recreational market?
There's been market research across this country showing that cannabis enthusiasts, A, are going to be the largest driver of spend in our recreational market, and B, that they're willing to pay a little bit more for something a little bit better, and that's what we deliver with Supreme. Our mission is to give that consumer, the cannabis enthusiast, exactly what they want.
And according to CEO John Fowler, high-quality cannabis is what this segment of the market wants. Supreme Cannabis plans to focus on the quality of the plants and their genetics.
We've been focused on the recreational market, we've been focused on flower, and we've been focused on quality since day one. Our cannabis business is based on three things. It's based on great people, strong technology, and strong inputs. From our senior management team to the operators in our facility, and we focus on our investments in inputs. This business is driven by strong genetics, and I believe our genetic portfolio is second to none in Canada. We're currently operating a little over 100,000 square feet. We're adding to that capacity frequently, and we're looking forward to be completing all of our flowering rooms by the end of 2018, which will set us up for an annual run rate of 50,000 kilograms per year.
7 Acres is Supreme Cannabis's brand for recreational markets and was federally licensed in 2016. Named after a one-of-a-kind hybrid greenhouse in Kincardine, Ontario, this 340,000 square foot sun-powered facility was first launched as a business-to-business solution.
We've been successful this year in taking 7 Acres from a B2B brand in the medical space to Canada's first premium-focused brand. We're the only company in the country that's focusing purely on the premium market and delivering a brand through 7 Acres to cater to the cannabis enthusiast. It's distribution that's going to drive revenue, not just capacity or ability to grow. That means we sent our team out from British Columbia to PEI to get our products listed, because moving forward to list a new product, you have to bump someone else off the shelf. So as we add new strains and products, we're confident we can lever our understanding of the consumer and our revenue growth in each of the provinces to be more successful over time.
And analyst Robert Fagan agrees.
They've signed supply agreements with 6 provinces, coast to coast, which is really only a handful of other companies that have been able to do that. This will give them a presence for their products across Canada, which will certainly help them garner strong brand recognition. And I think that if you couple that with some of the supply agreements they have with other partners, that they have a very high likelihood of selling all of their production in the first year of legalized recreational sales, and it'll be a key advantage for them.
With a strong foothold in Canada's estimated $8 to $10 billion recreational market, John Fowler is now focusing on something even bigger.
The global medical market is estimated to be $100 to $200 billion, and we haven't taken our eyes off that. MediGrow is our first investment into the international space. It's an investment asset that allows us access to high volumes of high quality cannabis oil with GMP certifications over time, which will allow us to drive our export strategies as medical markets open.
And like every other consumer industry, John Fowler expects winners and losers.
I believe the winners in the cannabis industry, whether it's here in Canada or abroad, are going to be those that put the consumers first. This is a consumer industry at the end of the day, and having strong consumer insights backed with a supply chain that can deliver products those consumers want is the one and only recipe for success.
With recreational cannabis legalization set to launch later this year, Supreme Cannabis will be one company to follow closely. Their stock symbol, FIRE, on the TSX Venture, and SPRWF on the OTCQX.
Coming up next, a cannabis company that's never grown a single plant.
It all starts with a concentrate. So what we do here is we make concentrates.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. The cannabis sector has been trending higher and higher, with legalization in Canada fast approaching. In addition to medicinal use, the smokeless cannabis market represents a multi-billion dollar opportunity and is in the early stages of massive growth. Co-founder and VP of MediPharm Labs, Keith Strawn, explains the benefits of doing one thing really well.
When you look at the global market itself, a lot of that is led primarily in medical cannabis. So we have a huge opportunity based on our good manufacturing practices and having that recognized by other governments to really play in the medical global market. Now, having said that, which is important is that we can very much participate in the recreational market. It all starts with a concentrate. So what we do here is we make concentrates. And I think that's where our strength really lies in the recreational market is partnerships with existing brands where we are the active ingredient provider.
MediPharm Labs is the first company in Canada to become a licensed producer for cannabis oil production without first receiving a cannabis cultivation license. They have secured supply agreements for cannabis oil with several Health Canada approved cultivation partners to produce pharmaceutical grade cannabis oil with a competitive advantage.
A large part of our business is a white label solution. So imagine your brand powered by MediPharm. And by us really being a leader in the space of purified cannabinoids with accurate dosing, by us powering a brand for our white label partners, it really elevates them in the market as well as makes use of their established customer base. Since being licensed on March 29, 2018, we've already brought in over 3,000 kilograms of dry cannabis in our inventory. That's the equivalent amount of what a small or medium-sized cultivator is growing in an indoor facility. When we look at, you know, are we able to sit on this horizontal supply chain where we're not growing, I think that we've proven that the answer is yes on how successful we've been on sourcing dry cannabis products.
An unparalleled processing expertise comes from a team of experts in pharmaceuticals, biomanufacturing, and healthcare delivery.
We're actually a pharma-grade facility. What's important and what makes us unlike contract manufacturer in other industries is that we don't just put people into business, we go into business with people. We will get our formulators involved with their formulators and really launch a product that way.
MediPharm's focus on quality and purity aims to uphold Canada's reputation as a global leader in the cannabis industry.
We use advanced processes. Our equipment is not new in the way that it's been used successfully in other industries. We've taken from those industries and applied them here in a way that is automated at an industrial scale.
Even if they work at 25% capacity, MediPharm is projected to make $12 million quarterly in revenue, which puts them at par with some of Canada's top licensed producers. Led by a team with a proven track record of success using innovative extraction methodologies, MediPharm is creating their niche in the cannabis supply chain.
the fact that we are the first license by Health Canada solely for extraction, solely for concentrate production, positions us well to be one of those leaders. And it is really exciting to come to work every day knowing that you're developing an industry from scratch. And it's an opportunity that we haven't seen kind of in the past few generations of, you know, global business.
The cannabis industry has opened a new chapter in the Canadian marketplace, and MediPharm Labs is poised to be a valuable participant as the sector matures.
After the break, what's happened to one company that's ventured beyond dried cannabis products?
They've been able to penetrate the market with about 60% of their sales derived from cannabis extracts.
And later, like all companies with their eye on the future, this CEO is well aware of the challenge ahead in the edible cannabis market.
To be able to infuse cannabis with the minimal amount of impact on the aroma and taste of the product.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. Legalization of recreational cannabis in Canada, coming very soon, will see many companies entering this new market with the hopes of being able to meet the demand by building inventory and brand recognition. As a federally licensed producer, CanTrust brings decades of industry experience in the medical market to the expanded recreational market. Analyst Neil Gilmer gives his take on what to expect up to and after legalization.
There's going to be a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of excitement. We've seen that in other markets. You'll see large swings intraday, you'll see large swings from day to day. So I think that it's important for an investor to make sure they're diversified.
With a variety of standardized products and its massive 450,000 square foot facility currently being expanded to 1 million square feet, CanTrust is poised to be a leader in the growing cannabis industry.
I think they grow a quality product. They demonstrated that indoor grows initially. They've subsequently moved to a greenhouse down in the Niagara region, and they've continued to demonstrate the ability to grow quality product with high yields and a very competitive cost structure. They've been able to develop subsequent products, not just dried flowers, moves into oils, moves into capsules and topicals, such that they've been able to penetrate the market with about 60% of their sales derived from cannabis extracts.
Neil Gilmer believes there's something more to being successful in this industry.
I think the management team has, you know, built a great company. I think they've got a good solid experience and track record. I think they've formed an excellent team around that. CanTrust has developed a very solid growing environment. They've learned over the years how to develop processes, to develop quality products. I think they're being very innovative on the product front. I think they're doing a lot of research on the product front to bring alternative products to the market. I think their partnership with Apotex furthers that product development and brings to them, you know, another outlet on the pharmaceutical side.
Setting new industry standards for product excellence and cost effectiveness, CanTrust will soon have their innovative products available to Canadians coast to coast.
You can't turn on the news these days without hearing about the cannabis legalization in Canada. Wayland Group is one of the original licensed producers in Ontario, and in just 5 years, the company has grown from a 2-acre property to a 217,000 square foot fully integrated facility. And they're expanding. Ben Ward, CEO of Wayland Group, explains the company's strategic plan for growth.
When we started this facility, we took a different approach. We went through the process of how can we create a facility that creates long-term operational efficiencies and will be sustainable over the long period of time. Our operation allows us to produce cannabis at an ultra-low cost because we have lower labor requirements, our electricity is lesser cost, and we have water from the local region that we are able to pump for no cost. We need 1.5 million liters of water a day, but we use that water and recycle it and then regain and recapture the nutrients, as well as capturing all of the water from our roof. We'll only produce 10,000 liters of wastewater a year. That's one of the ways that we're making our business environmentally sustainable.
In addition to sustainability practices, Whalen Group is working with stores like IDA, Guardian, and Unipre. There are huge benefits to partnering with pharmacy operators on a consumer level.
What that does is provides patients with an elevated level of service for their counseling in cannabis, where pharmacists are trained and educated and certified to become patient counselors and educators. So pharmacists can recommend cannabis to patients who may have issues with opiate addiction and can use cannabinoid replacement therapy as an option for their treatment.
In light of Canada's soon-to-be-opened recreational market, Whalen Group made the conscious decision to preserve inventory to meet demand.
We're very well positioned for the recreational market in Canada, having near-term supply online. And we have secured agreements with British Columbia, Alberta, Manitoba, and Ontario to supply our high-quality cannabis products to the provinces.
But will having reliable cannabis sources put customers at ease?
I think that the recreational market is going to be bigger than anyone has imagined. Getting cannabis today, if you're doing it through the gray market, you have to know someone who has a product, and then you don't know what you're getting. I think when you have a consistent, reliable product that you can gain in an easy way, that access is available, I think that we'll see an explosion of cannabis demand far beyond what we've seen published in numbers from different analysts to date.
Whalen feels ready to meet that demand with their multi-patented delivery system, which ensures optimum absorption of their products. And the company is established overseas with operations in Germany and Switzerland.
One of the real advantages we have is that we're already producing in the European market, which means we have product that's on shelves that people can purchase now. So our brands can be established and can move into a position of first mover advantage. No one else has the type of production that we do in Europe at present.
Their hard work is paying off. Two large bulk supply orders completed during Q2 of 2018 gave the company a significant increase in revenue.
We've taken the time to get it right. We brought in experts from around the world who have experience in executing and building cannabis businesses. We are focused on delivering ultra low cost raw material and putting that into a high efficiency delivery mechanism. And we're working with major pharmacy distributors and working globally with EU GMP certification.
Passionate about the power of cannabis, Whalen Group is committed to advancing healthcare in Canadian and European markets.
When we come back, why someday, when you're thinking of reaching for a cold one or what to pair with pizza, you might choose cannabis.
We believe that a cannabis-infused wine or beer is actually a safer and healthier alternative than those with alcohol.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. Finally, a great tasting beer you can have for breakfast. That's right, you heard correctly. Award-winning Hill Street Beverage Company started its business by creating alcohol-free products for the designated driver. But the company soon discovered people were choosing their beverages for other reasons. We caught up with the CEO and chairman of Hill Street, Terry Donnelly.
Consumers are really looking to moderate their alcohol intake, really for a variety of health reasons. It's an incredibly fast-growing business because a lot of people really enjoy the taste of wine and beer, but they don't enjoy the effect that comes with it or it interferes with their medication.
Enjoying a glass of wine or cold beer with friends or family is part of our culture. But for those seeking healthier options, Hill Street provides a variety of alternatives to meet consumer demand.
We produced the world's first alcohol-free craft beer. We've won numerous awards around the world for those products, and we want to continue to focus on innovating in the sector to create products that have unique taste profiles that meet the most discerning consumer tastes.
Building on previous success, Hill Street has realized the potential in the cannabis-infused beverage market.
Cannabis-infused beverages make a ton of sense for us because we make great-tasting alcohol-free wine and beer. And in order for you to make a cannabis-infused wine or beer, it's got to be alcohol-free first to begin with. Our goal is to really mimic the level of intensity, the level of intoxication that you would get from a single beer or a single glass of wine with a single beer, single glass of infused wine. We believe that a cannabis-infused wine or beer is actually a safer and healthier alternative than those with alcohol.
Hill Street currently has beverages available in about 4,000 stores across Canada. Looking to the future, Terry Donnelly explains the benefits of co-packing.
It's actually a little known fact that most of the craft beer and wine that's produced actually comes from major co-packers. Our wine comes from Belgium, from a great company in Belgium that's got a world-class facility there. And our beer is made by a couple of different brewers that we've chosen to be able to produce products that meet our expectations. We're actually retrofitting this facility here in Vinfirst and St. Catharines through our partnership with them to begin to produce our own products in-house according to the recipes and the formulations that we've developed over the last number of years.
With hundreds of craft breweries and boutique wineries producing quality beer and wine in Canada, the question is, how will the industry as a whole evolve?
One of the things that we're doing to address that is building a really significant co-packing capability for all of those wineries and breweries that are making great craft beer and boutique artisanal wine, for them to be able to come to us, to have a great tasting product made in our facility, to have it processed by the patented technology that we've licensed to be able to infuse cannabis with the minimal amount of impact on the aroma and taste of the product. And that's something that we think really helps to set us apart in the marketplace.
The company raised nearly $7 million through two private placements in 2018 and is currently focused on investing in the cannabis space. Hinta Chambers is Hill Street's CFO.
We're in a good position, and you know, in a growing company, it's important, and you are cash constrained in those first couple of years, but we're going to make sure that we've got the cash necessary to execute the strategy.
When companies that produce traditional alcoholic drinks explore their cannabis options, they're competing with the rise of cannabis-infused beverages. But without any alcohol-based beverage revenue to lose, Hill Street offers a unique opportunity during the end of cannabis prohibition. Hill Street Beverage Company trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the memorable symbol, beer.
Before we wrap up, a reality check on investing in the cannabis sector.
Traditional valuation metrics may not perfectly apply to cannabis industry and the sector valuations. Some investors may think that cannabis stocks are expensive at a certain point. Using a traditional valuation metric, it could end up to be inaccurate in terms of where the stocks can actually move. So it's a difficult sector to value.
While it may be a difficult sector to value, you can't ignore the facts.
The cannabis sector is here to stay. That's why many investors are totally convinced that, as the song goes,
you ain't seen nothing yet.
Thanks for joining us today. For BTV, I'm Jessica Kasherchak.
And I'm Taylor Tone. Until next time, may your portfolio prosper.
Is BTV, Business Television. Discover companies to invest in.
Coming up this week, three next generation tech companies, from hardware to social media to pharmaceuticals. Plus an update on a special copper mining company.
Hello, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Kasherchak.
Welcome to BTV Business Television.
The tech sector is like one of those restaurants that seems to have everything on the menu.
there are opportunities for investment to suit just about every taste.
And tolerance for risk. That's why it's so hard to know what to choose.
Hopefully, the three very different tech companies in this episode will whet your appetite.
But first, here's what one analyst has to say about investing in new technology.
Investors should understand that with every new technology, there's often a hype cycle. In the early days, we can understand that the value potential is there, but we tend to overestimate the potential for value in the near term. And we often underestimate it over the long term. And what this creates is a period of hype in the near term and excitement followed by a correction period and a rationalization. And so investors should be wary of these risks when investing in this sector.
As the revolution in wireless telecommunications continues to advance, it takes a lot of research, development, and manufacturing to keep up. Baylin Technologies has long played an important role in the transmission of this revolution. Literally, because Baylin is in the antenna business.
We do antenna development for smartphone platforms. We did the brick phone back in the 80s, and last month we did 16 million antennas for cell phones. That's our first division. The second one is the embedded devices group, which is the antenna technology that would relate to embedded systems such as an Internet of Things, an IoT device, a set-top box, or a small cell. We also do SATCOM, so we have a lot of power amplifiers that are used on Earth stations as well to be able to move RF frequencies up to the satellites and back down to Earth. And lastly, we do infrastructure antennas for small cell applications related to the upcoming 5G network.
5G technology will increase data rates and system capacity while reducing latency and saving energy. It's where companies like Baylin need to be.
5G is an enormous network that needs to be built. First of all, it's 10 times more powerful than the best of LTE. So we're working very hard with a number of carriers to come up with the latest technology that's required to be able to help with the latency and the bandwidth requirements for 5G.
Daniel Kim, Baylin's Executive VP of Corporate Development and formerly an analyst following the company, explains why he believes Baylin is so 5G compatible.
We'll see new form factors and new features we have never seen on antennas before. Baylin, as a result, is extremely well positioned to address that market need as it provides custom designs and rapid prototyping, two critical factors that are required to drive 5G development.
As development of 5G ramps up, Baylin's strategic decision to move its operations from abroad to North America has brought it closer to the action.
Probably with 65% of the worldwide spending will happen in North America alone. So in order for the company to be well positioned, we need to shift operations and R&D to North America, which we've accomplished. We are at the table with engineering firms within the carriers. We are part of the conversation. We're part of the development at the earliest of stages.
Besides relocating, Baylin has transformed in other ways since going public in 2013. The company wanted to perform as well financially as they have technologically.
In the last 5 years, we've been growing at 23% compounded annually. As well, we've addressed a number of the issues financially to be able to cost cut and work our way through to a much better platform, which you can see in our margin performance, which has doubled over the last 5 years. One of the things that we've been doing is diversifying and outsourcing areas that are not critical to the core deliverables by Baylin. At the same point in time, growing the base of the company in the area of engineering and technology and being able to keep ourselves laser focused on the needs and the opportunities that are in front of us.
One of the newest opportunities is the base station antenna market.
In North America, there are 400,000 base stations. This market segment alone represents $40 billion. This has been the growth engine for the company, growing at 164% in Q2 alone, and we would expect this growth will accelerate going forward and will be the biggest growth driver for the company.
But it's not the technology itself that sustains a company's success.
There's an underlying resilience to our company. To be able to survive as a technology company for 40 years is an enormous milestone. We have 150 engineers, 15 PhDs that are working feverishly on the next generation of products. And as the world continues to change and all the connectivity points that are required for us to build artificial intelligence, autonomous cars, smart cities, banking changes with cryptocurrency. There's no end of demands for connectivity across the world. I think it'll pale in comparison to what's happened in the last 40 years compared to what's going to happen in the next 40 years. And I'm excited to be a part of that.
There's little doubt Baylin will continue to be a player in the development of wireless telecommunications. And if you use your phone to track their performance in the market, there's a good chance a Baylin antenna will help keep you posted. Coming up next, cash for content. Does a new social network really have what it takes?
Most other social networks are a pastime. Peaks allows you to run an actual business.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. What happens when you combine e-commerce, social media, and live streaming video? The answer is Peak Social. Company chairman and CEO Mark Atwaru brings us up to date on the progress of the company and gives us a preview of where it's headed next.
Peak Social is the world's only e-commerce enabled live streaming social network that allows you to transact and interact with the global audience to build your brand, build your business, and build awareness of you. The main differentiating factor between Peak Social and all other social networks is that, particularly in the live streaming category, is that you can actually make a living off of it. Our top five money makers on Peaks all make well over $200,000 a year. And then for other people, there's thousands of people that use Peaks to supplement their income. So whereas most other social networks are a pastime, Peaks allows you to run an actual business.
Peak Social generates revenue for both the company and the content creators. And there's more than one way to make money on Peaks. Viewers can pay, they can tip, and there's money to be made the old-fashioned way, advertising.
Say, for example, I wanted to go on Peaks and give Spanish courses. I'd broadcast live for, you know, half an hour for free, gather an audience. Whatever point in the broadcast that I'd like to go into paid mode, I'd hit the button, it's now paid. If you like the first hour and you want to pay for the next hour, a paywall drops down and then you'd have to pay me. On the tipping side, it's kind of buskering. People perform, they do whatever it is that they do, and if their fans like them, they tip them. Third way for people to make money, say for example, you just have interesting content and you're not really interested in charging anybody. What you do when you start your broadcast is you type in a title, and the artificial intelligence in our platform selects advertisers that match your genre, presents them to you, and you select the advertisers that you'd like to advertise in your live stream, and we share the ad revenue with you.
Peak Social began as an app, one that generated revenue from day one. But the launch of the company's website earlier this year has proven to be a game changer.
And now it's just one button, one click, and simple, right?
Yes, it is.
Prior to the launch of the website, all of our users were in one of the two apps, and in order to spend money, they would have to make purchases out of the app stores. There was a cost to that for us. The cost is 30% of the gross. By launching the website, we were able to double the user base, and offer payment services on the web, which reduced that 30% cost to a 2.5% cost.
With the Peak Social website up and running, the company is moving ahead with another social media endeavor based on an acquisition they made earlier this year.
We are launching a new social network called Personas, which is a more Instagram or Facebook-like, where you have followers, you post videos, pictures, you're able to do everything that you do in social media. But there's a few unique features that we found are in high demand, and that's privacy. So we added the feature that allows you to segment your posts between family, friends, business, and otherwise, so that not everybody sees everything that you're posting and you have a degree of privacy. We found that people like that a lot.
Personas will also leverage the live streaming and payment processing expertise Peak Social has developed. Atwaru sees it as a next generation social media platform, one that offers the features he's convinced users are eagerly awaiting.
What excites me most about the future of the company is just the tangent on live streaming as an industry. and the degree to which it's projected to absorb a lot of the traditional television market and become a mainstay of media consumption globally. There's a lot of players in the space doing a wide variety of different things. We feel like our offering is unique in the market and that we have an ingrained place in the market that as the market grows, we'll grow with the market. So it's an exciting place to be.
The Peak social platform generated gross revenues of $2.1 million during its first quarter this year, almost double from last year. That might explain why this CEO is so optimistic about the company.
Lance Technologies is powering merchants and users with an award-winning mobile payment and reward platform.
Prior to Glance, I was co-founder and CEO of a company called Pay by Phone, which brought mobile parking to over 100 cities around the world. Glance changes the way businesses and consumers interact around payments and reward systems using mobile devices. If you look at what's happened in China recently, the mobile payments have gone from a small part of the payment infrastructure to now by far the predominant form of payment. Wall Street Journal quoted that last year $9 trillion were transacted by mobile devices in China. We see similar opportunities in North America. One of our main implementations is in the restaurant space right now, and that lets you pay for your bill from your table without having to wait around for the waitress or a chip and pin machine and lets you get out of there 10% faster in terms of the whole time you're sitting in a restaurant. We recently announced our beta of our PayMe app, which is designed to allow anyone to download an app and receive full merchant capabilities using their own mobile device. Since we've had such success with our anti-fraud technology, which uses a lot of the components in your smartphone to help prevent fraud, we've really freed merchants from the requirement to have chip and PIN machines and opens up a lot of possibilities on the mobile front. So our objective is to let anyone be a merchant in minutes. We've announced that we're working on a blockchain-based rewards platform, which will feed into our current highly flexible rewards platform. Consumers have the freedom to choose when and where to redeem those rewards.
Coming up next, a mining analyst checks out a recent acquisition and does the math.
In effect, it's sort of a 1+1=3 type of scenario.
And later, how do you turn trace amounts of cannabinoids into amazing new medical treatments? You need the right technology.
They're working on a biosynthesis process for cannabinoids, which can really revolutionize the way that we manufacture cannabinoids.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. Demand for copper continues to grow on an annual basis, especially for batteries and electric vehicle industries. The current political climate regarding tariffs in the U.S. and declining mine output has put mining analyst Stefan Juano giving his thoughts on the Copper Mountain Mining Corporation.
The Copper Mountain story is centered on the Copper Mountain Mine, which is located in British Columbia. It's been in production since about 2011. It's a large open pit operation, actually operating north of 40,000 tons a day right now. Just recently, the company spent a lot of time focused on a satellite deposit called New Ingerbelle, located a couple kilometers away. Drilling there is now to find 175 million ton resource, which in combination with Copper Mountain really stands to extend the overall project's mine life significantly and or garner a throughput expansion in time.
Earlier this year, Copper Mountain acquired Altona Mining, a highly prospective large land package that includes the Eva Copper Project. This permanent development is designed as an open pit copper gold operation with a 14-year mine life.
A second chapter to the Copper Mountain story is the Copper Project in Australia, which was acquired last year. It's underpinned by a recent feasibility study that outlines a 90 million pound a year production profile. So in essence, it's very complementary to the Copper Mountain story as we know it today. In effect, it's sort of a 1+1=3 type of scenario.
With near-term sentiments on the base metals market seeing many ups and downs, Stefan Juano has some thoughts on the long-term outlook for copper.
A key consideration when investing is asset location. Political jurisdiction, political risk, and your ability to tolerate it are key things an investor needs to ask themselves. Complexion of an asset can change drastically overnight due to political reasons, and investor value can be wiped off the table extremely quickly. I would say it's the smart investors though that are looking beyond that and recognize that in the next 12 to 18 to 24 months, there's a pretty compelling argument that supply issues are real and they're not going away. And that does paint a strong picture for the base metals looking forward.
Copper Mountain has assets in two of the friendliest mining jurisdictions in the world. When all is said and done, Stefan Ioannou believes there is a very strong case for the stronger for longer base metal pricing in the near future. Canvas MedTech has Canvas.me, a free, unbiased, and physician-backed educational platform aiming to become the Google of cannabis data.
Canvas MedTech is one of the few data analytics companies within the cannabis space. We lead and win with education and provide meaningful insights to the rest of the industry. We're building patient-centric solutions for the different industry gaps that we're seeing, the first one being in the education realm and the second one with data analytics. There really isn't anybody pushing education first, and there really isn't anybody looking at data analytics to serve that back to the end user, to inform the industry on why it is important to learn about the different uses of cannabis and what are people actually telling you in the data. What we wanted to do is not curate any content where people are either enticed or pushed in any direction to get on script. We wanted them to learn, and that's how we win. We win on the analytics and understanding why people are learning about cannabis, what they're treating for, a little bit about why they're doing it, what ailment, and then not having that push at the end to go on script allows us to play that fine line of being agnostic and non-biased. We've grown to 12 full-time with 7 contractors, so the office is pretty busy, almost at 20 people within 1 year, and the growth trajectory is just phenomenal, and it really is exciting for us.
When we come back, this pharmaceutical company's CEO makes one thing perfectly clear.
Our company, we don't use any THC. We don't think there's a need to do that.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. You probably heard that a number of companies are moving forward with developing pharmaceutical products derived from cannabis. Maxim Jacobs comments on the shift in the public policy and attitudes that's making this possible and potentially profitable.
In other areas, the regulators are getting friendlier to anything associated with the drug culture. For example, psilocybin, which is the active ingredient in magic mushrooms, the FDA approved a phase 2B trial for the treatment of depression. So, things are changing. It's all very interesting.
InMed is a biopharmaceutical company with a bit of a twist.
Biosynthesis has been used for several decades in the pharmaceutical industry to manufacture a number of different types of compounds. The most common one that most people know about is insulin. All of the insulin in the world today is biosynthesized.
Edison Director of Healthcare Research for North America, Maxim Jacobs, has looked very closely at this convergence of biosynthesis and cannabis.
InMed has a lot of potential. They're working on a biosynthesis process for cannabinoids, which can really revolutionize the way that we manufacture cannabinoids. It's much more efficient potentially than the old-fashioned way, which is growing the plant itself. That takes a lot of time. There could be a lot of impurities. You don't really know what you're going to get. With a biosynthesis process, you could have a product that's inexpensive to make and of high quality. The market that they're addressing is growing quite strongly.
Of all of the pharmaceutical products derived from ingredients originally found in a variety of plants, only one of those plants has ever raised any eyebrows. InMed is convinced those days are over for cannabis.
When you hear the term cannabis, that's making reference to the plant. So if you hear of someone being a cannabis company, that means that they are growing and operating and cultivating and selling the plant itself. We don't do that. We focus on the individual drugs that can be identified or isolated from the plant, but we take those and we turn those into prescription-based pharmaceutical products.
A lot of the stigma of cannabinoids is gone. We saw GW Pharmaceuticals get approval for Epidiolex, which is based on CBD. They were able to get it rescheduled by the DEA from Schedule 1, which basically says you're not allowed to have it, to Schedule 5, which has very few restrictions.
InMed is exploring the therapeutic potential of many different cannabinoids, except one.
Our company, we don't use any THC. We don't think there's a need to do that. Wherever THC is active in the human body, we have found other cannabinoids that are equally as active but don't have any psychoactive properties. So we intend to use those rather than using THC.
It's the company's two enabling technologies that will ultimately unlock the ability of cannabis to provide a multitude of new treatments. The biosynthesis platform is the enabling technology that will manufacture the products. But that's only one piece of the puzzle.
The second enabling technology is called bioinformatics. And what we do is we use in silico or computer algorithms combined with our own know-how to try to identify and predict which cannabinoids are going to have what kind of effects in the human body. And that leads us to very quickly identify the lead candidates for further development in our pipeline.
InMed has three drug candidates in the pipeline: an eye drop for glaucoma, a topical cream for oral facial pain, and their lead development program, INM750.
INM750 is a two cannabinoid product, which is a topical cream for the treatment of a very bad genetic skin disorder called epidermolysis bullosa. We are currently in the later stages of the toxicology studies that need to be conducted prior to entering human clinical trials. Our game plan right now is to seek permission to enter human clinical trials early in the second half of 2019 and to conduct our first phase one human clinical trials before the end of 2019. It's going to move us from being a preclinical stage biotech company into being a clinical stage, and that's a very significant milestone in our industry.
Drug development takes time, and Eric Adams is well aware that time isn't free.
The company has been very successful in fundraising over the last couple of years. Currently, we have about $26 million Canadian in the bank. That gives us a runway of over 2 years to develop our programs and move those forward. What really attracted me to the opportunity here at InMed was first and foremost the technology. It's rare to find a company that is at this early stage that has such a broad reach of technology, enabling technology, that's going to make a real difference in the pharmaceutical world.
As InMed Pharmaceuticals brings new cannabinoid-based medicines to the marketplace, it appears that even a plant can experience a paradigm shift.
You know what I really like about tech sector companies is that wow factor you often get from looking at what they've come up with.
True, and that you might be looking at investing in the next big one.
Even better. Thanks for joining us today. For BTV, I'm Jessica Katrachak.
And I'm Taylor Tone. Until next time, may your portfolio prosper.